AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And hopefully you are listening the last half hour. I had the opportunity to fill in for Pastor John Lutz on his program at 1 o'clock for the Cause of Christ with North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And what a blessing that was. And we were talking about a couple of things in the last half hour, talking about conspiracies. And I'm going to continue that theme here a little bit in this program. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible, we do have phone lines that are available at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, thank you that we can have the freedom that we still have, that we still enjoy, to use this medium to talk about your word and to communicate the truth of the gospel. And we pray that some of the things that we talk about today would be instrumental in helping people in their walk with Christ and helping that lost sinner out there come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as well. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was talking about conspiracy theories, and I don't want to rehash everything that we talked about in the last half hour, but I do want to kind of, if you're just joining us, give you some information to fill you in where we're at. I've followed conspiracies and conspiracy theories since at least the mid-1970s, maybe a little bit before that even, and over the years, I've noticed a few things about these various conspiracy theories and the groups that they talk about, and I've noticed over the years, and especially after spending some time in the United States Air Force, or some information that I was able to see and look at, that these groups all seem to be interrelated. And as I said previously in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're introduced to what I believe is the master conspiracy and the master conspirator that's behind all of these various conspiracies. And that, I believe, is identified for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It's called the mystery of iniquity. Paul says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work," and that's what we see happening. Now, I have to understand, the devil knows the Bible better than you and I do. He is intimately familiar with it, and he knows just what he can twist to accomplish his purpose. Remember what he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Yea, hath God said." He knew just how to twist God's words, just what to add, just what to subtract from, in order to accomplish his own twisted, perverted goals, and how to take people's eyes off from the Lord. And he was successful with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's been successful ever since. And a lot of well-meaning people, I really do believe, get caught up worrying about what the Bilderbergers are up to next, what the Club of Rome is up to next, what the Trilaterals are up to, Commission is up to, or the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Illuminati, or this group or that group, the international bankers and the Rothschilds, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can fill in the blank. And a lot of cases, I think what we're doing is allowing ourselves to be distracted from the real conspiracy, which is given to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that's the mystery of iniquity, which is working in the world right now. And if you read that chapter, the first part of that chapter, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the Antichrist, and about what is called the son of perdition, or the man of sin. And we also read, and in fact, Now, let me go ahead and start in verse number 3, where he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God." Now, you catch what he's trying to do. This is the Antichrist and his attempt to replace the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil wants to dethrone Jesus Christ. And Antichrist doesn't necessarily always mean against. It can mean in place of. And the Antichrist is both. He's against Christ, and he's actually in place of Christ. And the devil, the master conspirator, has throughout history been attempting to bring the Antichrist into a position of ruling over the world. Now, we know that he will be successful in the future, and this is what he wants to do. And we know that time during the tribulation is when the Antichrist will come to power, and he will rule over the world. Daniel chapter 9 says that he'll have a covenant with the nation of Israel, and I believe he'll bring peace to that portion of the world, and he will set up in an attempt to set up a worldwide government. Now, there's going to be various problems, and God will be bringing judgment on the world during that time, but the devil does not know when the opportunity to put the Antichrist on the world's throne is going to come. So I believe in every generation, the devil has had multiple groups that he is grooming, preparing so that they can bring somebody to power. And along with that, I believe that he's had multiple candidates to become the Antichrist. And a lot of people get caught up out there. Well, Bill Clinton was the Antichrist. No, George W. Bush was the Antichrist. No, Barack Obama's the Antichrist. No, this person was the Antichrist, that person was the Antichrist, and they're always trying to identify the Antichrist, and I think that, in a sense, is almost a hopeless task, because we're not really going to know until after the tribulation when the Antichrist is revealed. And in the meanwhile, I think the devil is trying to distract us and bog us down and worrying about this group and that group when we miss sight of the real conspiracy behind the scenes, the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. It's working in the world today. John writes in his letters that the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world today. And so we have a lot of little antichrists, that have the spirit of Antichrist, which is a demonic spirit, the devil motivating these people, grooming these people, waiting, trying to bring one of them to the fore. And he doesn't know what time it'll be that he can do this, and he doesn't know which one successfully is going to be there. It's kind of like, I think, and this is sort of my thought, if you've been watching the news and paying attention to the news lately, the Middle East has kind of dropped out of the picture to a large extent. And even though there have been artillery and gunfire from Syria coming into Israel, and also missiles being fired out of Gaza into Israel, and the Iranians certainly have not backed off on their quest for nuclear weapons. And in fact, just this past week, read about how there's yet some more areas that they've identified that were previously unknown, where the Iranians are further ahead probably than what we thought in their race to obtain a nuclear weapon. It's been kind of out of the picture, because all we've been hearing about lately is North Korea. Now, North Korea threatening nuclear war against the United States, North Korea threatening to nuke Guam, North Korea threatening to nuke Hawaii, North Korea threatening to invade the South, North Korea this, North Korea that. And the North Koreans and the Iranians actually are working hand in hand, I believe, and North Korea is kind of distracting our attention and also pulling a lot of our military, and we do need to move military resources into that area just in case they are serious, in case they do try to do something. We have to be prepared, I understand that, but I believe personally that the Iranians and the North Koreans are working in cahoots here with this, and they're trying to distract us away from what the Iranians are trying to accomplish and divide. Our military has been so cut back and so weakened over recent years that they believe that if they can pull our military resources and our attention up into the area around the Korean Peninsula, that'll allow the Iranians to further their goals in accomplishing their designs down in the Middle East. But having said that, you can see where North Korea could be said to be a distraction away from the real problem in the Middle East, where we know that there's going to be a coming battle. In fact, Isaiah 17 describes the destruction of Damascus and Syria. And in verse number 1, it says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." And as you read through that, you also see that Israel's going to suffer a lot of damage as well. And in the last verse of Isaiah 17, in verse 14, it says, "And behold, at eveningtide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us." And the suggestion is that in evening there'll be trouble, and by morning Damascus will be destroyed. And I would submit that the Israelis have the capability with a nuclear strike to destroy Damascus in one evening, in one night. But we're racing toward a conflict in the Middle East, and the things that are happening there, most experts say it's not a matter of if, but when. And so then we come back to what we were talking about in 2 Thessalonians with conspiracy theories. And the mystery of iniquity is already working, but people get caught up. You know, well, the FEMA concentration camps, the chemtrails. I was walking outside of a shopping center the other day with my wife, and this guy got out of his car, and he looks up in the sky, and he tells his wife, "Look at the chemtrails. There's eight, nine chemtrails in the sky." And and if you're not familiar with the idea of the chemtrail, that's the idea that the military is secretly seeding some kind of chemical or something in the jets that are passing overhead. Forget the fact that the jet passing through the air, the passage of its wings through the air, and the exhaust from the engine causes condensation when conditions are just right. That's why you don't see them all the time. And other times you see a bunch of them, and I'm just not sold on the chemtrail issue. And I guess sometimes if you know too many things, it's harder to believe some other things. But at any rate, I do believe there are these conspiracy things that are out there, and they are working, but the devil is being restrained. And the effective restraint of the devil is the Holy Spirit working through us, through the believers. And if the devil did not have the restraints that he has, he would have been able to accomplish his goals of bringing forward the Antichrist in a previous generation. He could have done it with Hitler. He could have done it with, Stalin. He could have done it with Napoleon. He could have done it. We can go back in time. There's always been attempts of people to control the world and set up a world government. But look again there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Something is actively withholding the revelation of the Antichrist, the bringing of the Antichrist to the fore. And the Bible says that it's being prevented so that he can be revealed in his time. And his time is after the one that withholds is taken out of the way. Verse 7 again, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And letteth there, and let is not in the sense of permitting, it's in the sense of hindering or restraining. And we know that because if you look in your dictionary, you'll see that we don't typically use let for withholding or hindering today, except in legal documents such as without let or hindrance. But it's also the same Greek word that's translated as letteth is translated as withholdeth in the previous verse. So we know it's the same thing. And the Bible tells us in a variety of locations that there's coming an event which we refer to as the rapture, where the believers are caught out of the world. And I believe that God is currently withholding or restraining the devil, the master conspirator, from bringing his plans to fruition by bringing the Antichrist into power through the work of the Holy Spirit through his people. And here's what I mean by that. The devil has been trying for years. His first actual conspiracy is when he rebelled against God. Isaiah chapter 14, in verses 13 through 14, we can see where he said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. And in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And he seems to have brought about a third of the angels in his conspiracy with him in rebellion against God. But now we as believers, we function as salt and light in the world. The Holy Spirit is in us. We are, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are referred to as the temple of God today, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was getting ready to depart, in John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And so we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. He came on the day of Pentecost. He indwells believers at the moment of salvation. You don't have to hold on and pray until you receive the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. The Bible says if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. And so we're sealed, Ephesians 4:30, until the day of redemption. And what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's not going to leave us like He did in the Old Testament. But when the rapture takes place, the catching away of the believers, that will be when He who now withholds and He who now lets will be taken out of the way. He'll be removed. It'll also mark the end of our ministry of being salt and light. That's moral salt and spiritual light in the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 talks about that. And, of course, we understand salt and light hinder decay and darkness. And God works through His people, through the believers, to hinder moral decay and spiritual darkness in the world. It's not we who do it. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. If you've ever lived in an area where there's a very small presence of believers, you can tell the difference between an area where there are a lot of believers. And so the Holy Spirit is actively impeding the mystery of iniquity today by working through the believers and will continue to do so until He's taken out of the way. So if Satan's a master conspirator, he cannot succeed until God allows him to, and that'll be after we're taken out of the way. And we need to be ready, because if you're not saved, you need to know now's the accepted time. Behold, today is the day, or behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are saved, you need to know now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is our salvation nearer than we believed. And we need to be alert to the designs of the devil. Well, we've got a caller calling in. We've got John calling in. You're listening live with Pastor Al. And John, welcome to the program.
Oh, yes. Hello, Pastor Al.
Welcome. Glad to have you.
Oh, thank you. So, Pastor Al, regarding spiritual gifts, and I mean, it seems like this is somewhat what you're talking about, because the Holy Spirit is with us and working through us. And so we're to bring glory to Christ and to witness to people so abundantly. But also, you know, I'm wondering, you know, some people seem to be, you know, I mean, some people, like you were called as a pastor, and some people are missionaries or evangelists. And, you know, I wonder, I mean, if there's, knowing there's different parts of a body, you know, like it says in Corinthians, it talks about that. I mean, I wonder if you could speak on that, how maybe some people you have known that had different spiritual gifts, how they ministered to others that way, ministered the Word of God, and served the Lord that way.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that call, John. And talking about spiritual gifts, these are things that the Holy Spirit works through believers in the world to allow us to do the work that God's given us to do, so that we can be salt and light, so that we can, you know, be used effectively of God to hinder and withhold the devil the spirit of iniquity, so that the devil cannot bring his master conspiracy to fruition. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible tells us that, let's jump in verse number 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now notice this, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is just some of the things, and this actually tends to be some of the spiritual leaders in churches. And he says this about them, verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So there's several things right there that he gives the spiritual gifts for, and all the spiritual gifts. There's other gifts and faith and giving and things of that nature. And for time's sake, since we just have a few moments here, I'm not going to go back through all of them right now. But all the spiritual gifts that come, that God gives us, and they have a purpose right here for the perfecting of the saints. Now, that's to help all of us, you know, be conformed to the image of Christ. That's to help all of us who have put our faith in Christ become more and more Christ-like every day, for the perfecting of the saints. And then for the work of the ministry. Well, what's the ministry that God's given us to do? Well, first and foremost, of course, to, you know, preach the word and communicate the gospel and reach people with the gospel. But there's also a lot of other things, specialized ministries that God gives us to, so that we can learn the Bible and learn how to apply it in our lives and help others. And so the spiritual gifts are to allow the work of the ministry to go forward and also to edify the body of Christ. And, you know, it's interesting. We can see right here that these gifts are not for selfish purposes, are they?
No, they're to, like you said, to edify the church and to, it says, build up
exactly.
One another in the most holy faith.
Exactly.
It's not supposed to be for self.
Yeah.
Improvement in any sense of the word, or, you know, the Bible does say grow in grace, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow in grace, but we're not so much supposed to, it says by love serve one another.
Right, right. And in fact, Paul goes on there in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 13, saying that after saying for the preaching of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, coming into unity of faith doesn't mean that we just say, well, you believe, I believe in Jesus, so that's fine, we'll just all get together. He said unity of the faith. You know, the Mormons believe in Jesus, but they believe he's the elder brother of Lucifer. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus, but they believe he's Michael, the archangel. You know, so it's, you know, we all believe in the same Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, in unity of the faith. We believe that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. So that ruins, you know, the unity, potential unity with somebody who believes you have to work to get your salvation or maintain your salvation. Unity of faith. There's a whole bunch of things we could park on there, but also knowledge of the Son of God and the perfect man and the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Then he continues on again, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine or of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons that I believe God's given me an ability to teach, and I think that's one of my spiritual gifts, is to help counteract cunning what I got here, the cunning craftiness and those lying in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it goes on to continue about the unity of the body of Christ, surrounded by proper doctrine and countering those that would divide through false doctrines and false teachings. And John, we got just a moment or two left. Did you have anything really quick to add there?
Well, you know what? It does say something in the Bible too. It talks to something someone was sharing with me recently. We're not supposed to, like, kind of exalt ourselves one above another.
Right, right.
So he's admonishing me in some ways that I need to grow more. And he was saying, he's saying to me, he goes, you know, I'm not looking down on you because you're not, you haven't been saved as long as me. I'm just letting you
right.
know
Hey, John, I'm going to have to cut you off there. We're out of time. But thanks for the call, and thank you for listening today to Live with Pastor Al. We're out of time. God bless. Join us again Sunday night and next week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of